deeper understanding of why that would be, why it happened during the month. The basic obligation to check, possibly even spinim, but mezuzahs, is to check them twice in 7 years. I was thinking to myself, why dafka twice in 7 years? You could say that that's just Chazal. As the Gemara says, Chazal know exactly what they're talking about. Their shiurim are very, very precise. And they knew that twice in 7 years is absolutely necessary, but perhaps there's something a little bit more symbolic in this. And that could be Parashas Kisavo. We find in Parashas Kisavo the mitzvah of Bidu Maisu. Twice in 7 years, once following the third year, Meitzoy Pesach of the fourth year, and once following the sixth year, i.e. Meitzoy Pesach of the next year, one does Bidu Maisris, one has to ensure that he has dispatched any Maisrishon, seen to any Maisrisheni, any outstanding Maisroni. Why Dafka there? Same idea, the same question. Why Dafka twice in 7 years? And why Dafka, perhaps it's the key to the answer, why Dafka following the third year and following the sixth year? What's unique about the third year and the sixth year? What makes it different, sets it apart from the other 4 years? The answer is that in the third year and the sixth year, one has the mitzvah of Maisa Oni. Maisa Oni is only in the third year and the sixth year. First and second year, fourth and fifth year don't have that mitzvah. It's Maisa Sheni. So how does that help us? Anyone who's been learning Daf Yomi recently, Chagiga, Daf Tessa, there's a Gemara which says that Eliyahu came along and he told Barhehe or Rabbi Lozzi, he told them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for a suitable midah, a suitable good character trait to give to Klal Yisrael. And he looked around and he decided the best one to give to Klal Yisrael was that of poverty, of Anius. And there's a very cryptic statement, Omar Shmuel v'Timur Rabbi Yosef, Hainu to Omri Inchi, that's what people say, Yoa Anius of the Yehudoi, that poverty for the Jews is good, Ki Barzo Sumka, the Susio Chibra, like a red strap on the back of a white horse. There's various explanations as to what that means, but I'll just share with you one. The Maharshal says, the Gemara says in Brachos, it says that somebody who sees in a dream, he sees a white horse, it's a good omen. Somebody who sees a red one, it's a bad omen. Says the Maharshal, that's what the Gemara means to say. The red strap means poverty in and of itself is not a particularly desirable thing. People don't enjoy financial discomfort. But when placed in context of the bigger picture, it could be a very good thing for us, and it is a very good thing for us. Even if it's not poverty, but not overindulging in physical luxury will bring a person, number one, to anova, to a sense of humility, and ultimately to soul-searching, and will be malbin avon yisrael, shel yisrael, will whiten us, will purify us, will bring us to a sense of soul-searching and teshuvah. That's the idea why HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked out this mitzvah of, not this mitzvah, this character trait of anias, in order to keep us in tab, to make sure that we toe the line and do teshuvah at the appropriate time. Following the third year, and not just following the third year, it's when we come to Mitzvah Pesach. What happened over Pesach? We know Klal Yisrael came out with the most ostentatious display of spoils from Mitzrayim, and then even more so at Kriyas Yamsuf. But Yasa Moshe Es Yisrael Mi Yamsuf, he had to force them away. He knew this was a bad thing, but despite that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, please make sure that they have, in order to fulfill my promise to Avraham Avinu, that they'll come out with the Rechush Gadol. So therefore they came out with these. But Moshe Rabbeinu was quite correct. The result of it was the Chet HaEgel. Dizahov, in Parshas Tzvarim, Dizahov, because they had so much gold, the spoils were so great that it brought them to the sin. Therefore, Mitzoy Pesach Bedafka, Mitzoy Pesach following the year when we have been involved in Maisa Oni, a year when we've had time to appreciate that ultimately it's for our good not to overindulge in the physical world, then that brings us to a sense of soul-searching, vidui, that's vidui maestris, but the idea of confession, checking, on the one hand, our maestris, but also checking ourselves at the same time. And that, I think, is where it comes from, perhaps, a deeper understanding of where it comes from, to check the mezuzah twice in 7 years. Not necessarily Mitzvah Pesach, but the idea is the same. The mezuzah, the Vilna Gaon says in Megillas Rus, I think I may have said this once before here, that the Gaon says in Megillas Rus, that if you look at the mezuzah, you'll find on the outside of a mezuzah, on the outside of the klaf, it's got the name Shakai. On the inside of the klaf, it's just Yud Ke Vav Ke. There's no Shakai there. He says the message is very clear. He says a bit more, but I'm just taking out the one point. And that is that when it comes to the external, when it comes to the physical world, it has to be Shakai, die. It's, of course, there's a mitzvah to eat, sleep, exercise, etc. But what is necessary is all we do. Not to overstep the mark. When it comes to overstepping the mark, that's when it comes to the internal, that's the neshama, there, learning, etc., etc., there is no limit. That's the, and really, they are dependent on one another. If the external is die, then a person will have the time, he'll have the ability to be able to go beyond the boundaries when it comes to the neshama's needs. And that's perhaps what we're checking when we take out the mezuzah, we're checking the inside. We check it through, we check that all the letters are there, we're checking that everything is as it should be. By the way, it's the same with the tefillin. We'll discuss in a second whether there is a chiyuv to check tefillin or not. But if there is, it also comes back down to the same idea they recommend twice in 7 years. Same idea, because the tefillin, you've got the shin, the dalet and the yud, through the straps, through the shel rosh, you've got the shakai, and on the inside, same idea. Exactly the same idea. In Elul, obviously it's a time of soul-searching anyway, and therefore that's where it seems to come from, besides that, all the obvious things like Ilman Yirbu Yemechem, we're looking for Chaim, but also the ideas, it brings us to a sense of soul-searching, and therefore many people, as I said, have a particular minhag to check the mezuzahs and tefillin perhaps as well, during the month of Elul. Since this was supposed to be in Yonah Dioma, I think I can still just about squeeze it in before Rosh Hashanah to speak about specifically the checking. There's obviously many other halachas about tefillin and mezuzah. We've spoken once about tefillin, but specifically about checking, the halachas which are pertinent to the checking, mainly of the mezuzah. Let me just very briefly speak about tefillin. Is there a mitzvah, is there a chiyuv to check tefillin? So if you take a look in the end of Siman Lamed Ches, it's quite clear there that as long as a person is wearing their tefillin on a daily basis, definitely, there is no chiyuv to check one's tefillin, one can rely on chazok. There's no doubt about that. If, however, a person is only wearing it lifrokim, which is undefined, what lifrokim is, it could be 30 days. Some take on, if you've got a gap of more than a day or two already, it loses its chazokah, and then one would potentially be mechuyav. If you want to then start wearing them, one would be mechuyav to check the tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah says, despite the fact that if you are wearing them on a daily basis, there's no obligation to check the tefillin, the Metzias has shown that they don't. They are obviously prone to suffer from wear and tear, perspiration, weather, elements, etc. And therefore, it is a person is best advised to check the tefillin from time to time, maybe once again, twice in 7 years. Many poskim say, nonetheless, it's really that the ball goes back into the other court now. Nowadays, the way the tefillin are made is they're so good, they're so strong, they're so well sealed, that they will not be subject to this wear and tear, perspiration, etc. Obviously, if a person did drop them in water, they were lying out in the rain or something like that, then they should be checked. Otherwise, strictly speaking, seems kimat everyone agrees there is no chiyuv. But again, despite the fact there's no chiyuv, from time to time, it's very undefined when that time to time is, it may well be a good idea to have them checked. Some say, I'll tell you something very interesting, I once... A number of years ago, I took my tefillin into Magiata, maybe to have them checked. So he said to me, he said, it's very, very undefined. Some people do it before they get married. This was a little before I got married. Very, very, it's very unclear. He said one of the reasons they check it is not because we're worried that maybe a mistake may have crept in. It could be there's a mistake there, which is there right from the very start and was never picked up. It could be so subtle, it wouldn't be picked up by a computer, it wouldn't even be picked up by a human eye necessarily. And obviously the more times checked by a different magia, it could be somebody would eventually pick up on it. I then, for whatever reason, then we decided it wasn't necessary, we didn't do it there. I took it somewhere else. When I was in yeshiva, I took it to a magia, and he sort of looked at me like, didn't know what I was talking about, and when I told him what this magia said, he said, if it's checked properly, it should be checked properly. I mean, that's the job of a magia. Just since then, I've seen once again, another magia said the same, that it can be, that they will pick up on something which was there to start with. Bekitza, there is, besides, even if you want to say that they will not be subject to perspiration, damage, etc., etc., there is an advantage in from here and now, whenever that time seems sort of is appropriate to have them checked. This idea, by the way, that tefillin will be damaged, is just to get rid of one misapprehension people have, that by opening them and closing them, it's not good for the batim, is absolutely not true. A competent Margit I'll speak about, I'll sort of quote later on, he says, if you've been told that, then you shouldn't have bought those batim. He says, if the batim are good quality, they should not be subject to that. There is a thing about if you take the parshiyos out, they lose sort of the air, they lose that seal, that may be. So in conclusion, tefillin, there is no chiyuv as long as you are wearing them on a daily basis. From a practical point of view, it is advisable, it could be once in 10 years, some people do twice in 7 years, some people, as I said, they do it once a year, they do it ever. There's but there's no absolute definitive chiyuv there. When it comes to mezuzahs, however, that's a different thing, because mezuzahs, especially the outdoor mezuzahs, are definitely going to be subject to the elements. And therefore, there is a chiyuv to check the mezuzahs. Again, you look in Shulchan Aruch, it's twice in 7 years. There are poskim who say that nowadays, indoor mezuzahs, because of insulation, the houses are insulated, there is no chiyuv. Once again, you can rely on chazaka. But again, the metziah shows that they do suffer, they do need to be checked and touched up from time to time. And therefore, it seems that twice in 7 years is taken to be the thing. If you mezuzahs which belong to a sort of more public area, mezuzahs of the city is the way Chazal put it, those are only twice in Yovel, I think it is. The idea being, because obviously it's public, it's much more of a tircha. Does it help for the mezuzahs of, let's say, people who are living in blocks of flats, so the ones on the front doors? Kimat all posts can agree that that is not considered to be a public area, and therefore they have to be checked, as with any other mezuzah, twice in 7 years. Now, just working through the Seder Advarim, who checks the mezuzahs? Who checks the mezuzahs? Can I check my own mezuzahs? A sofer, a magia? So, the thing is like this, if they've already been checked in the past and they were perfectly fine, There's a shuvah of the Chasam Sofer where he says, strictly speaking, anyone can check the mezuzah. You can take your own mezuzahs and check them. Just check, obviously, there's no letters which have popped off, no obvious cracks. If you've got any shiders, go and ask. However, again, many people don't trust themselves, people don't know the halachas, and therefore, most people probably do give them in. But if you're giving them in, make sure you give them to a magiyah, not a sofer. There's a big, not a sofer, there's a difference. A sofer has learnt how to write. He has not learned, he will not check his own, what he writes. Any sofer will give them over to a magia to check. Very often they're computer checked nowadays, and human checked by a competent magia. A magia has to learn, he undergoes more tests, he's had shimush, to know what is problematic, what is not problematic. I can tell you of examples of, for example, there was a shayla of some, you know, the classic case of when you got a shayla, you show it to a child. There was a shayla brought into one of the big sort of safra stores in Eretz Yisrael, and it's probably I wouldn't say everyday shayla, but quite often they probably get this sort of shayla. They had a shayla with whatever it was. The rov said, it's a sofik, show it to a child. The child misread it, so that's it. It's all over you, and especially if it's certain things can't be fixed up. So the person brought it into this the store there where they've got these magim who have obviously been had years of experience. They looked at it and said, it's not even a shayla for a child. Absolutely kosher. Right? That is only, you can only get through shemesh. Only through experience can a person, it's not, you can learn all the halacha in the world to know when is it a sheilas tinok, when is it not. If it's not a sheilas tinok, you don't show it to a child. So this is the point. A magia has had shemesh, this is his area of expertise, and they don't necessarily, you will get people who are both a sofer and a magia. But if you're looking for somebody who's a magia, that's the person who's going to be able to check and see what is problematic, what's not.
Do they advertise? I don't think so.
Sorry?
They don't advertise.
They do. You can ask around afterwards. Yeah. So, when a person takes down the mezuzah, if you're taking down a number of mezuzahs, a person is well advised to make a note on the back of the mezuzah where you're taking it from. So, the reason is like this, because you want to know where it came from, where to put it back. You may say, what difference? They're all mezuzahs, they're all kosher, what difference? The answer is like this, because there are some places, which is beyond the scope of our shiur today, but there are some places where the chiyuv to put up a mezuzah is a chiyuv d'oraisa, some places where it's a chiyuv d'rabbanan, and some where it's probably even less than a chiyuv d'rabbanan. Okay? Now, to take a mezuzah which has previously been on a door, which is a chiyuv d'oraisa, Let's say you've got a door, which l'chadadis is a chiyav d'oraisa. That means it's got not only doorposts, it's got a door as well. According to the Rambam, without a door, there's no chiyav. So you've got a door, and it's a nice big room like this, living quarters, that's mamash a chiyav d'oraisa. That mezuzah, if you decide to take it and go put it on something which is less than 4x4, it's just because it leads into a room which is bigger. Bekitza, which is only a chiyav d'rabbanon, it's a hirada b'kedusha. As we know, we say man in HaKadosh for Emoridin, and many posts can take on, therefore, you should, just like with the tefillah shel rosh and the tefillah shel yad, we don't take the ritzuyos of the shel rosh and put them onto the shel yad, because that's taking it down a level of kedusha. So too, with a mezuzah, you should not be taking it from a room which is a chiyav d'oraisa and putting it on a room which is a chiyav d'rabbanon or less. Okay? That is the halachic reason. There are, they say, practical reasons as well. People often want to know that sometimes people are checking their mezuzahs because they want to know if there's any correlation between something that's happened in a certain room, and that's just really a more practical reason. But the halakhic reason is, as we've said, because many places can say that you mustn't sort of be murdered b'kedusha, that's why, just to keep a record of where they are. Now, when you've had them checked, hopefully he's rolled them up for you. Again, just a word of advice. If a person's rolling, they've actually got special machines for this nowadays, because sometimes a person can roll them up and crack all the letters, in which case they're possible for you, and you won't even realise it until next time they're checked. Okay? I remember in yeshiva, I remember a bocher there, 20 plus. He'd been wearing tefillin, in other words, for some 8-9 years. He had his tefillin checked. One of the parashas was cracked all the way down because it had been folded, presumably because it had been folded badly. One of the parashas had been cracked all the way down, probably right from the start. It's got to be done very carefully. Because it's fine, it's been rolled back, rolled in the right direction, it's been put it the right way up, obviously, and it comes time to put it back up. Do you make a bracha? This is one of the classic questions. Do you make a bracha when putting the mezuzah back up or not?
After what time? It depends on what period.
So that's what we're coming to. So if you've got the magia, he's come round, he's checking your mezuzahs, or you're checking your own mezuzahs, he takes them off, sits in your house, checks the mezuzah, puts it back up, then it's quite clear, if it's the same mezuzah, you don't need to make a bracha. There's no hasach hadas, that's pretty clear. The grey area comes when you take them down, you take them off to his house, it's a number of hours before they come back, so you then have to make a bracha. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, if it's overnight, then one would have to make a bracha. The implication is, if it's the same day, one would not have to make a bracha, which is obviously very, very difficult. Why would that be? If you take them off 9 o'clock in the morning and don't get them back till 10 o'clock at night, you haven't slept in between, but you've been occupied, preoccupied with all sorts of other things, it's been more than 12 hours, why would you say there's been no hasach hadas? There is a suggestion, so in Sefer Shavuos Yitzchok, Yashiv suggested, that it could be, the reason is that this, because as long as the person is checking the mezuzah, you're obligated obviously to check the mezuzah, so then, that is, you're still osuk in the mitzvah. It may not actually be up, but you're still osuk in the mitzvah. Since it's perfectly normal for the person checking the mezuzah to keep them overnight, to really get them back the same day, it's not normal to have it overnight, to get them back the same day, that's perfectly normal. It could be 12 hours, it could be more than that. But that's perfectly normal, and therefore there's no hesach hadas, you haven't disconnected from the mitzvah. Once it goes overnight, that's already considered to be beyond the normal period of time needed for checking the mezuzah, and therefore one would then have to make a new bracha. Nonetheless, there are others, in Chida Sador, for example, he says if it's more than 2-3 hours, you put it up with a bracha. It's a little bit of a grey area, this one. If there are other factors to require bracha, then we can definitely sort of put them into the equation. For example, what if a person is having to change the mezuzah? It's not marked, but if there's a chiyuv to make a bracha, you're supposed to do so.
If you make a bracha, can you mix them up for them? Does it matter if they're mixed up? You're starting again. You said you must...
No, no, so that's to do with the kedusha. It doesn't matter whether you're starting again. Oh. They've still got that kedusha of the ready served as... Now, if a person is switching a mezuzah, let's just talk about a posher case, not because I'm checking them. Stop, I decide, you know what, I'm going to switch this mezuzah. It's been there a while. Do you make a bracha when you switch a mezuzah? So it's actually a very, very big machlokes between the Maharam Shik and the Maharshag. Maharshag was the Talmud of the Maharam Shik. And it's very, very, in the Maharam Shik, he says, I think it's this way around, he says that, take a look at Hilchos Tzitzis. If you put on one beged, and then you take off, you put on another baguette, you have to make a new bracha, right? Unless you had it in mind to start with, you have to make a new bracha. So too here, When you made a bracha to put up the first mezuzah, and 5 years later you switch the mezuzah, the first bracha doesn't cover it. Whereas the Maharshag says, he says, no. Take a look at Hilchas Shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, what happens? The person's, the tekeah, he's blowing. And the shofar is getting filled with saliva. He decides, you know what, he's got another shofar there. Can he switch? Does he make a new bracha? Of course not. No one's ever heard of such a thing. So you see that, what's the vault? Because the mitzvah is to hear the tekeahs. It doesn't bother me whether it's this shofar or that shofar. So to hear, the mitzvah is to have the mezuzah on their door.
Be enough given if the old mezuzah was possible.
Oh, I'm going to, yeah, that's 100%. That's why I said your stump just changed the mezuzah. I'll come to that in a second. So,
if I put up 10 mezuzahs, I'm making one broch on all of them. What if this is making the switch them
not? Some years later.
No, but some years later. So the question is, can you just stump switch them, or do you now have to make a new broch? Because for this door, at least, it's a different mezuzah. Or stump, it's a mezuzah I've just bought in the shop.
When I made my
bracha
originally the first time.
So the shayla is, does that cover it? That's the machlokas. And the truth, I'm sort of just giving, just literally a very, very, very slight taste of what you could go back and forth in this. You know, for example, shofar, I could say, you know what, shofar is different. Because with shofar, until you've heard the minimum number of kodos, however many kodos that is, you haven't yet finished the mitzvah. Right? You haven't actually, so therefore, whereas with mezuzah, once you put it up, you're finished. You've done what you have to do for now. So in which case, maybe the bracha has terminated. I'll shake him with the shofar. Kolzman, I haven't actually finished blowing all that. I haven't finished yet, so the bracha's still... You could argue that. With the talis, I could also argue on that. I could say the case of talis is completely different. Because there, the talis is equivalent to the door. The sitzis, the chutim, yeah, the strings which you're putting on, that's the equivalent to the mezuzah. If you've got a talis, you've got a chiyuv to put a four-corner garment, you've got a chiyuv to put the tzitzis on. Likewise, if you've got a door, you've got a chiyuv to put the mezuzah on. So what if you change the chutim on your talis? They're not necessarily possible, you change them. The Mishnah Berurah is specific about that. Maybe you don't have to make a new bracha on that. In other words, you made the bracha, look at your tzitzis and you say, you know what, I'm going to quickly change them. Do you have to make a new bracha when you put it back on? He says, not necessarily. Take it off, change. What I'm saying is, you can see it's again one of these very, very grey areas. Some poskim paskim one should make a bracha. Some poskim paskim one should not make a bracha.
What are you switching? You're switching an entirely new mezuzah. You're changing a mezuzah from one side of the door to the other. You're changing.
It could be either. It could be either.
Anything.
Yeah, you'll get into the machlokes in either case. Okay. If the mezuzah was possible, the first mezuzah was possible, that's completely different. Yeah, if you took down the mezuzah, found it possible, now you're putting up a new mezuzah, it means, essentially, you haven't had the mezuzah on that door. It's probably equivalent to the mezuzah falling off the door, which is paskin, and that's quite clear that one does make a new... If you come along and you find the mezuzah's fallen down, you would definitely make a new bracha. As it happens, there is one possible opinion, not like that, because, again, it's learnt from talis. If your talis drops off, you didn't take it off. Your talis dropped off when you... Put it back on. Mr. Burrow passes this. You do have to make a new bracha. There is a dissenting opinion, as it happens with talis. Presumably, that dissenting opinion would carry through with mezuzah as well.
If you change the door and you keep the same mezuzah, the same day you change the whole door, the frame and everything.
Was there Surah Sarpas up there? Did you remove the chiyuv mezuzah?
Sure, because there's no doors, there's no mezuzah.
Yeah, just because there's no door doesn't mean there's no chiyuv mezuzah. So it depends on that. It depends on whether there's a chiyuv of mezuzah or not. Yeah. Just, I mean, very, very briefly, what you've touched on is a very interesting shadow, which potentially could be negei out to sukkahs. There's a big machlokes. What happens if you for a sukkah you decide you'll just take off some of the roof beams? Mm-hmm. Now, a room is not a living sort of quarter. It's not higher than mezuzah if it doesn't have a roof. So there's a din of taseh v'lo min ha'osi. You have to put the mezuzah on when it is already obligated in mezuzah. If you take the roof off, that room has now lost its chiyuv of mezuzah. You then put the roof beams back on with soy sukkahs. If you don't take down the mezuzah, it's taseh v'lo min ha'osi. Again, there's the same sort of shaila if you take the door off. If you have to take the door off for some reason, and you put the door back on, according to the Rambam, when you took the door off, the room was not chayav in a mezuzah anymore. You put it back on according to the Rambam. And once again, the same thing. There's a big machlokes about this. Some say once you put it on the first time and it was done taser, for the minosi, it doesn't matter what happens after that. One of the rites they actually bring is from Tzchach. Tzchach is also taser for the minosi, correct? will start off, you have to make sure the roof is open when you put the schach on. It's no good putting the schach on when the and then opening the roof on Yom Tov. It has to be taseh, but amin also. You have to put it on when the roof is open. So they ask, well, how does that help? But throughout the whole of Sukkot, you're opening and closing the roof. Every time you close the roof and then you open it again, it's taseh v'amin also. Again, there are you could be machalik between them, but again, it's a big machalik about that. In those sort of situations, I don't know if that would apply to these opening roofs that people have for sukkahs, whether you'd have the same thing. It may depend on where it is. Even if it, number one, you could argue it's more like a window. It's not like taking off the actual roof. That's one possibility. The other possibility is it depends how close it is to the door. Okay, but again, just touching on that shayla. If it is kosher b'diavad, by the way, if the magia comes back to you and says, it's kosher b'diavad, are you mechuyev to go and get a new mezuzah? What does b'diavad mean? So the machloek is our place for how we treat b'diavad. Some say b'diavad means, if you've already got it, look, keep it. Others say, it was kosher until now, but now you know it's b'diavad, get a new mezuzah. Lemaisa, there's a, it's all from in a sefer from a magia in a, I think it's from Rambam, Beit Shemesh. He says there that a lot will depend on what does it mean it's kosher b'diavad. What does it mean kosher b'diavad? Does it mean l'chol ha'deus it's kosher, but it's only b'diavad? Or does that mean, according to most poskim, it's kosher, but according to other poskim, it's posel? And b'diavad means, no, the accepted thing is to follow the majority opinion. If you're following a majority opinion, then you may, if you can afford it, you'd definitely be well advised to buy a new mezuzah. If he's telling you it's b'diavad. Whereas if he's saying to you, everyone agrees it's kosher, absolutely b'di'evet, I mean, it's absolutely kosher, it's no shayla psul, just not ideal, then already it's, you don't have to be as quick to go and buy a new mezuzah. I mean, it's very similar to the shayla with the brisker rov. You know the brisker, obviously, the brisker rov was makpid to try and be it to every single shittah of the rishonim. Somebody once saw him having a cup of water inside the house on sukkahs. They said, you know, we know Mendatkim wouldn't have a drink of water outside the sukkah. What is he doing? So he says, no, I'm makpid to make sure to keep every as far as I can every shit in the rishonim. But what I'm doing here is there's not a single rishon who will say that I can't do it. No, there's hiddur mitzvah. I'm not looking right now for hiddur mitzvah. I'm not looking to go beyond lifnim mishra asadim. I'm looking for what is required al pidin. That's the same sort of idea over here. Let me just end with one story. There's loads and loads of stories abounding about, you know, sort of mofsim with mezuzahs. Just one from this I thought was unbelievable from this magia. He says he got a mezuzah from somebody, a whole set of mezuzahs, and the person just sort of, by the way, he said to him, just pay specific attention to the word levavacha. I feel. So obviously his curiosity was aroused. His person had ruach hakodesh. You know what's anyway. He starts checking the mezuzahs. Took it slowly. First mezuzah, second, six, seven mezuzahs. Absolutely fine. Nothing. And all of a sudden he got to the next mezuzah, and straight away he saw it straight away. Second line, the word levavacha was split. The gap was too big between the two bases. Third line, same thing. Levavacha, too far apart. The ninth line, levavchem, same thing. There was a pattern in it. And then the 18th line, Livnechem. Same thing, split into two. He looks on the back of the mezuzah to see where it's from. And yeah, it's from the 2-year-old child's room. He phones up this person and says, it's type of a problem, yeah, it can be fixed. But and the person just almost dropped the phone. He's kept muttering, I can't believe it, I can't. He said, why, what's the story? He said, my 2-year-old son, we took him just for an absolutely routine visit to the pediatrician. And the pediatrician was checking him over, and he put the stethoscope to his heart. And he didn't like what he heard. Straight away, he sent us off to the cardiologist. The cardiologist listens to him and he says, the two chambers of his heart, they're too far apart. Too far. And by the way, the word base, by the way, bias, is a house, is a chamber, right? They're too far apart. But the cardiologist was very bothered. He says, how could it be that the pediatrician never picked this up? It's not a condition that a person develops. A person's born with it. And he never picked it up. So he went back to the pediatrician. He said, look, I was bothered by the same thing. I'm telling you, it was not there beforehand. I checked him before, it was not, I don't understand, that's why I sent you straight off. But here they had their answer. What had happened? This room was used for the first time, they had never used it before. This room was used for the first time, in other words, they were moving the child into this room for the first time. 2 weeks ago, they'd moved the child into this room. And this 2 weeks later, so the Magia, he asked the father, he said, do you want me to fix it? He said, if you can fix it, that's fine, but I'm not interested. I'd rather take a completely new mezuzah. He was so sort of freaked out by this. And he bought, 6 months later, as was instructed, they went back to the pediatrician, cardiologist and everything. Baruch Hashem was absolutely on the right road. There are stories like this, but as Hashem, we know that the mezuzah is the ultimate guardian. There's plus learning about the mezuzah, it should be a mogin for us. You may have been a boy in the table.